there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
So we're going to read today two simple verses from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Hear now then the Word of God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as we walk through these sermons of giving, Lord, in November, that you touch our hearts. The Holy Spirit, you give us the wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God, that you speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that you deliver that holy message that can only come from God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody ever see the movie Private Ryan? Private Ryan was a story about sacrifice. The whole movie, the central plot of the movie, if you remember seeing it, and if you don't, I'll explain it to you. The central plot was that this family had three brothers. Four of them served in the military in World War II. And this is based on a true story, by the way. And one by one, three of them were killed. Well, this came to the attention of General George Marshall. And it just so happens that the fourth son was behind the enemy lines in Normandy. George Marshall turns to a letter that was written by Abraham Lincoln to Mrs. Bixby during the Civil War when her five sons had been killed. And Abraham Lincoln promised that no mother would again lose her entire family of sons. And so George Marshall, knowing of this letter, understanding what the intention was, at least of Abraham Lincoln, decides that the fourth brother has got to be found and he's got to be returned. And so the unfolding story of what happens in Saving Private Ryan is this team of eight soldiers then are charged to go find Private Ryan and return him, even at the cost of their lives. And the interesting thing, when these eight were called to make this sacrifice, some were very reluctant to do it. Some went along simply because that was their duty. And some embraced the mission that they were called to. What this points to is that sacrifice is part of life. There's no question that you will sacrifice. How you sacrifice, however, will be tied to your faith. And it will be proportional. The greater your faith, the more the sacrifice. Sacrifice is not to be made out of reluctance. It's not to be made out of duty, but out of joyful praise and thanksgiving to your Father in heaven. That's the sacrifice that we as Christians are called to make. What Paul has presented here in verses 1 to 2, it's really three things. Number one, sacrifice is part of life. Paul, in these verses, is appealing to us to sacrifice ourselves to God. And thirdly, the whole idea that sacrifice is being transformed from one state to another. So let's look at number one. Sacrifice is part of life. we come into this world in the pain of our mothers who sacrifice for us. And as we grow up, our parents sacrifice for us. You all that are parents, you know that. We sacrifice our time, our effort, our energy to provide for our children. It's a sacrifice. We learn sacrifice when we're growing up. We learn to share our toys with someone else. Some have a harder problem with it than others, but if you have parents that are teaching the idea of goodness and sharing, that ultimately you will see your kids make that sacrifice and give that toy up to somebody else to play with for a little while. When we're kids, we got to go to bed early enough, get enough rest for the next day. So we sacrifice that because we'd rather stay up. You got to sacrifice your time to do your homework, get good grades. Spend time like our kids shooting basketballs in a hoop for hours at a time in order to play well in a game. Lift weights and train and run like Matt and Corey and the sports that they're in. That's a sacrifice. We're even the recipients of a sacrificed animal when we eat a hamburger. So sacrifice is part and parcel of life. And as you think of all these types of sacrifice, some is burdensome. Some are intrusive, some as a necessary part of life, and some you willingly pursue for something better. Paul appeals to us to sacrifice ourselves. In Romans 12, chapter 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There is a lot in this one little verse. Paul is presenting really five important aspects here. First is when we reach the beginning of Romans chapter 12, Paul, through chapters 1 through 11, has dished out deep theology. That the doctrines of the Word of God are understood in the Christian life, that we see them, that we read them, that we integrate them in our lives. And 12 starts us on that path. In other words, 1 through 11 are saying, here's what I've shown you of what the gospel's all about. Now here, from verse 12 on, is how you live it out in your life. So here we go. He's not simply making a logical argument. He's making a plea, now that they've been shown the true gospel in chapters 1 through 11, justification, sanctification, doctrines of grace and election, perseverance, the sweetness of God's providential care. Paul wants us to consider the implications. When he makes this appeal from all that he has written in Romans chapter 1 through 11, his appeal is by the mercies of God. And those mercies, which he has explained, means as believers in Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior, we are justified in front of a holy God who can give us the justice of heaven and hell. We're justified by our faith. So we can come before a holy God because, number two, our sins are forgiven through the atonement of Christ, through the death of Christ on the cross, through his blood. Our sins are forgiven. We know that in chapter 8, God works all things for our good. So we must have faith for that. And also that God calls a people to himself. Like we are here today, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called as the living embodiment of the church, the body of Christ. Each one of us individually. It's awesome. So everything Paul has expounded throughout these doctrinal sections of chapters 1 and 11 points back to God's mercy. The mercies of God lead us to the therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. He states his appeal, and what's his appeal? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now you see, this is an active verb, present. And it's even more than an active verb. It's an imperative verb in the Greek. In other words, it's a command. And the way that it's presented in the Greek is it's a continuous command. It's not a one-time thing. We don't just present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. It's, in other words, it's all the time. It's ongoing. When we read in the Old Testament of the animal sacrifices in the temple for the forgiveness of sins, it's Jesus Christ who made the once and for all sacrifice of himself. And he wasn't reluctant, and he didn't do it out of a sense of duty, but he was giving of himself for something better to come, and that is salvation to all who believe. That's what Jesus gave. That's his sacrifice. And so God is calling us, as your faith in Christ enables you and encourages you to sacrifice that which is worldly toward that which is heavenly. Our lives need to be heavenly focused, not worldly focused on things of men. And Paul is saying that here. When we have heavenly focus, we are more Christ-like. When we have worldly focus, we are not. Your living sacrifice toward Christ-likeness, that's what Paul's talking about here, is a sacrifice of holiness. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holiness is the idea of this Greek word hagios. You individually are separated out for divine purpose. That's what holiness means. So you are separated out for divine purpose and acceptable to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are able to present yourself as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to God because you have been separated out already by belief in Jesus Christ. And so it is an ongoing thing to present continuously your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And the primary point isn't that we should lose something, but that we should express something. The whole principle of giving to God is an expression of worship. Giving God back what he already owns. Whether it's money, whether it's your time, the gifts and talents you have, as an expression of the body of Christ, as an expression of yourself individually. It's an expression of worship. And when we worship, worship means that we bow down before God to give ourselves to him for his will. That's part of our worship. And during Sunday morning services, when we hear, you know, let's now worship God with our giving of our tithes and our offerings or something to that degree, when that request comes, we're not asked to give something back to God from a sense of duty. We're asked to make an offering as an act of worship. Last week we talked about the rich young ruler that went to Jesus, who said, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, to kind of paraphrase the whole thing. And Jesus said, well, if that's the case, then give up everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. And he walked away dejected. It's not out of a sense of duty. It's an offering of worship. It is an expression of how we feel about God. If each of you would offer up your checkbooks, I'm sure we would see what you feel about God and your faith. You know, when we are giving people, giving back to God what he already gave us, it's not a sense of duty, it's an act of worship. And such giving is one way that we show our submission to God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our devotion, the substance and time, everything that we have. God is worthy of worship. That's why we gather here today. That's why, because your hearts are drawn to worship God. You could easily just be home laying in your bed, but your eyes are heavenly. And we are a family, a tight family of God here. And we see what worship is. And we come together to praise him. And the reality of his presence is here. Christ, in the ultimate sense, gave himself for us, and we are then to respond, according to Paul, by giving ourselves back to him. It's by his blood, by his death, that we can even come before God sinless. How could we not give back to him? He gave himself to redeem us, and we are to give ourselves to thank and serve him. And so here's the question that comes up. When are we to give ourselves to God as living sacrifices? We are to do so the minute we come to Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It's not something offered as the Jews did on the Day of Atonement or on a Sunday morning. It's an offering of our whole self with our whole life. That's the commitment that we have as Christians. If you read Scripture, if you're coming to church, if you go to Bible studies and so forth, you know that it's easy to see. It's quite easy to see. You can open up your book almost any page and understand that. But it's often so hard to do, isn't it? When our spiritual growth is weak, we kind of hold back. And we want to keep for ourselves a part of ourselves. We don't want to give up stuff that we do or things that we have. And we often overlook the type of sacrifice that God really requires from us. We think an act of religion or spiritual sacrifice then is necessarily delightful to God. God requires that we offer ourselves in a way that is acceptable to him. We are to offer ourselves in humility and repentance so that the sacrifice of our praise is going to provide a sweet aroma for him. It's like the guys that went out to seek Private Ryan. I mean, some of them didn't want to do that. They did, and they complained about it. And some of them are wondering, we got 8 guys here, and we're going to save 1 guy. You know, what happens if 1 or 2 of us get shot? Well, that's, how's that equate? And some of them, once again, went because it was a duty. And they did their duty. But others embraced the mission. And when we sacrifice to God, he's calling us to embrace the mission. He's calling us to give of ourselves, give of our lives, embrace the mission that he has put in front of us, and walk the path of Jesus Christ. Your life then is to be transformed. It's transforming from one state to another. In the second verse, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul's contrasting conformity with total transformation. We're to flee then from one to the other. There's something that takes place in our lives when we no longer conform to the world, but our thoughts and our minds, the emotions of our heart, the deepness of our souls are transformed. And when we're transformed, we're able to discern what the will of God is, good and acceptable, perfect will. We present our bodies as living sacrifices, and that entails not being conformed to the world when we do that. The world doesn't do those things. Some of the soldiers in Saving Private Ryan had difficulty with nonconformity. You know, they wanted to get out of there, to abandon the mission, not to make the sacrifice. They're conformed to the world, to instinct, to self-preservation, to self-centeredness. That's what the world would tell you to do. And so not conforming to that brings about transformation. The Greek word for transform, by the way, is metamorpho, and it has the idea of metamorphosis, like a butterfly, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. We become a new creation in our faith in Jesus Christ. Your thinking has to change. You need to become amenable to the Word of God. subservient to it. To understand the spiritual transformation that's taking place in your life. It's not what would Jesus do, and we're compelled to that. It's got to start from what would Jesus think. And we're transformed to do. Kingdom of God, beloved, is not about avoiding wearing lipstick or playing cards and movies or dancing. You know, some denominations don't like any of that. It's not about that. It's about obeying the law of God and living lives of godly spiritual obedience. It's an active movement then toward Christ. When we look at the book of Acts and we see what the apostles and disciples did, they didn't just sit in a church pew every Sunday. They went out and engaged the culture. Now, did they gather together? Yes, they did. Did they gather together and eat bread with one another? Yes, they did. Did they gather together to encourage one another? Certainly they did. Did they have churches like this? No, they didn't. They had little homes. From home to home, they were an infection on the culture. God has then injected them into this hedonistic pagan culture to make a difference. And the culture that they went into was way worse than what we have here today. And yet, empowered by God, they went on this great adventure. And why? Not because they were conformed to the world, but because they were transformed by the renewing of their mind. As they offered themselves as a holy and pleasing and spiritual sacrifice of worship to God. God's will for each of us is that we grow into spiritual maturity. That our lives become more fully set apart, holy, consecrated by the Holy Spirit, and that our minds are changed. And after that, we will be able to tell what is pleasing to God. We'll be able to know what He wants us to do, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because sacrifice is part and parcel of life, and it's how you sacrifice that makes a difference, because there's no question that you will, one way or another. How you do it will be tied to your faith. And our sacrifices as Christians need not be done and should not be done out of reluctance, out of duty, but out of worship. Worship to God. Joyful praise and thanksgiving to your Father in heaven. That's sacrifice. That's giving yourself to God. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we ask deeply that you reveal your will to us, Lord. We know that you speak to us. We know that you speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. And when we hear your voice, what do we do? Do we delay? Do we ignore it? Do we have the faith then to pursue those things? Do we have the will to go on? Father, that's what expressing ourselves as a sacrifice of praise to you, our even our whole selves, everything that we have. That's what it means. And we ask that you place that in our hearts, Lord. We ask that you give us the courage to do your will, that we not look with worldly eyes upon what we're called to do, but we look with heavenly eyes for your great purpose and your great will, Lord. And as the family of God, allow us to inject ourselves into the culture to make a difference, to be salt and light. That's what you call your church to do. That was the mission of Jesus. That's the mission of the body of Christ that we understand, Lord. Allow this church to be that outpost of people who get fed, who get rest, and are able then to go back out into the wilderness to make a difference in life. That's the great adventure you lead us on, Lord. And we do thank you. And it's scary, and it can be fun, and it can be exciting as well. But as we trust you and walk in your will be perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.